it's like
it works on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What your kind of like job was or what you did?
Well, I was went into the 10th Armored Division in Fort Benning, Georgia. And after
what was the year? Was it?
What year? That was in 1942. And went to Fort Benning for training, and we went maneuvers in Tennessee, and eventually was shipped to a New York port of embarkation. That was in 1944. We boarded a ship in New York Harbor. It was a big transport ship. We had about 9,000 troops aboard. But when the ship pulled out to get into the East River, it went on a sandbar, or struck a sandbar. And so they tried for 2 days to get it off the sandbar. It was raining, very bad storming, and they had about 20 tugs attached to the ship to try to get it off the sandbar, but they could never get it off, so we had to debark from that ship, 9,000 guys in a rainstorm, and load on another big ship. Of course, ships during the wartime were in convoys. Well, of course, our ship being 2 days late, we had to, the convoy had to go ahead without us. So we just had a small Canadian corvette as protection, but since ours was a fast ship, we were safer than being in a big convoy, because of course convoy can only go as fast as the slowest ship. Mm-hmm. So we went directly then from New York to we landed in Normandy. It wasn't D-Day, it was after D-Day. We landed in the port of Cherbourg. That's on the tip of the Normandy Peninsula. It took us about 30 days to get all of the equipment. Of course, an armored division, or tank division, whichever you want to call it, has a lot of obviously a lot of mechanical equipment, tanks, half tracks, trucks, supply vehicles. Each individual has their weapons and everything. So anyway, after we got all of our supplies and got all of our equipment and the breakout of Normandy, we went through the course that took us through Paris, and eventually into the heavily old fortified city of Metz, France, which is close to the German border. It was very heavily fortified. That's where we first went into combat. And it took us about 4 weeks. We had two or three other divisions with us that we finally captured Metz, and we were at that point got some rest and re-equipment. Of course, in the battles you lose a lot of equipment besides the men. So that was in December, and it was very cold. It was the coldest winter in Europe in 50 years.
This is in France?
This was in France, uh-huh. And so we were, that was in December. Now, the big battle of the Bulge, that it became known as, started on the morning of December 16th, 1944, when we were in Metz. And we had no idea that the Germans could do this, because we thought we had them beat pretty bad. But on the morning morning of December 16th, 1944, in the Ardennes Forest. Incidentally, that is where the main German attack came when the Germans invaded France and Belgium and Holland in 1940. So it was very cold, as I said, below zero, 20, 30 below zero. And we had no idea the Germans could do what they were about to do. And in this 100-mile, well, about an 85-mile section of the front, there was only two divisions that were there that were regrouping, and a fresh infantry division that had just gotten in from, that had just gotten into the line from the States. And against this thinly held line of three divisions, the Germans had amassed 23 divisions. Eight of them were armored or tank divisions.
How many are in a division?
Well, the German divisions?
Uh-huh.
Well, I somewhere probably between 12, 14,000. So anyway, on the morning of December 16th, this huge force, armored force, and all the other divisions hit this 80-mile sector. And, of course, it was a great surprise. The men there that were in that line were very, very much overmatched. There just weren't enough there, and the Germans immediately began to overrun the positions, and our guys suffered a lot of casualties. Their objective was to break through and get to the Belgian port of Antwerp, which was had become a big supply base for the American and British armies in that sector. And there was a huge American supply dump that they wanted to get to also. So as I say, it was very cold, very snowing. The weather was so bad, the air forces couldn't fly. So immediately when the American headquarters got word that the Germans were coming, were breaking through that sector, General Eisenhower contacted General Patton, which our division was in Patton's Third Army, and said that they would have to have an armored division to pull into that sector, into the city of Bastogne, as soon as possible. He said it should be at least 48 hours. And so they immediately sent us up there. We made it in about 24 hours. As I said again, you can't forget the cold and how snow and ice everywhere. You're just about to freeze your toes off.
Did you guys walk all the way there, Mark?
Oh no, an armored division. We rode. We rode into. In the city of Bastogne, which maybe some of you have heard about or know about, was a small city there in Belgium that it was a hub of many, many roads that came into it and left. And this is what the Germans had to take to keep their armored forces moving. So one of our combat command, which was the third of our division, pulled into Bastogne, and along with some remnants of some of these other divisions that the Germans had chewed up, and started the defense of Bastogne, and the 101st Airborne, which was in a rest camp, was immediately rushed into Bastogne also, which, of course, they were lucky that part of division was in there with their tanks to help them defend it. And the Germans had it completely surrounded, and the guy, the defenders were taking an awful beating, but they were held, they were holding on to it. And this was, again, some of you may know the story about how the German commanders sent an ultimatum to General McAuliffe, who was the commander of the 101st Airborne, to surrender, that they were, said, you are surrounded and we will annihilate you. And many of you may have heard that McAuliffe sent back the word nuts.
Yeah.
And so when the Germans got this message, nuts, they didn't know what it meant. And but anyway, they found out what it meant. So it was, these battles were raging very heavily. And as I said, for 10 days, the Air Force couldn't fly. Finally, on the 10th day, the weather cleared, and we were able to get the fighter planes and bombers in the air, and of course they began to pound the German forces pretty good. And they didn't ever know, the German forces, they came within 5 miles of the biggest fuel dump that the American Army had in Belgium. That's what they were desperate for, was to get fuel.
They're running short.
Yes, they were running short of fuel. So there were, of course, in the beginning, many individual acts of heroism. These guys would even though their division was pretty much chewed up, they would squads and companies would be fighting very bravely and holding the Germans back. So the base of the bulge was about 85 miles wide. The furthest penetration they made was about 90 miles before the Patton's Third Army, which we were a part of, began to hit the bulge from the south, and the American and British forces began to hit the bulge from the north. And so we slowly began to beat them back. And at most of the fighting in the bulge, as I said, it took about 7 weeks, the main part of the fighting, before they were pushed back to where they started from. And of course, there was very heavy casualties between the American and British forces. We lost 56,000 men in the Battle of the Bulge.
All together?
Yeah. And the Germans lost 108,000 men total. It was considered by historians the biggest battle of any war that was ever fought. There was hundreds of thousands of men on both sides. It was a total surprise to the American forces. We had given them a pretty bad beating in France, and had driven them all the way back to the German border. Intelligence had no thought at all that the Germans could ever do anything like this, but the Germans were very resourceful. They were very good soldiers. They had good equipment, and they were just dedicated to winning the war, and they came very close to doing it, really. And of course, it was, as I said, many times, many accounts of individual bravery, and of course, very, very, very heavy casualties. In fact, as I said, the weather was so bad and the snow and ice was so heavy that we found thousands of bodies after the snow melted. And and of course the snow was gone, and found that, you know, where a lot of many hundreds of guys that had fallen, where they were covered by snow and frozen. And one of the real marks of that battle was there was a small town north of Bastogne called Malmedy. The Germans had captured 147 of the American GIs there, and during the Battle of the Bulge there, and 147 of them, and of course these guys thought they were being taken to a prison camp, but the Germans took them out into a field and pulled up trucks and opened up with machine guns, and in reference to the Malmedy massacre, when General Patton heard about it, knowing General Patton, he immediately issued an order to the Third Army that we were to take no prisoners. Of course, as soon as General Eisenhower, of course, who was the overall commander, heard it, of course, he rescinded that order because that was, I guess, not the thing to do. But of course, Patton was, and all the guys were so angry and mad about what the Germans killing 147 prisoners that.
In the truck, they did.
These trucks that they pulled up, they flipped the canvas up, had machine guns in the trucks, and they killed, and they shot them all.
Oh.
And. So I got to see General Patton twice. When we were put in the Third Army, he called all the commanders together, which I wasn't a commander, but I was in machine gunner and communications, so I was with them. And he was every bit the man that you heard about. He had his pearl-handled pistols, and he gave an indoctrination speech. And he says, in my army, he says, I won't use the words that he used, but in my army, he says, there's two reasons you will stop. If you run out of gas, or if you're just getting all kinds of stuff shot out of you. So he was the most feared American general. He did not believe in defense. He only believed in attacking, and he was his Third Army covered more ground, captured more prisoners, than any other army in the war. And
is he the one that wouldn't take prisoners?
Well, he had, to his Third Army, but of course, as I said, when Eisenhower heard about that, he rescinded that order. I mean, we weren't going to be like them. We weren't going to shoot prisoners. So, I said it lasted 7 weeks, and that was, even though that was another big blow to the German army, of course, it lasted another they held out another 5 months. How is that? Uh-huh. Hmm?
Yes.
Is it still going? So I again don't like to repeat things too much, but it was a very epic battle. Again, many individual instances of great heroism and sacrifice. any part of the war was bad, you know, that all these young men had to kill each other, but it was something that we had to do, and so we did it, and it was a heck of an experience for American forces. Had 330,000 killed during the war. This was all in all services, both the European and Pacific theaters. We had a much harder logistic thing than the Germans. Of course, we had to build an army and produce arms and ship them across to 3,000 miles of ocean, and the Germans, of course, being intercommunication lines, they had all the advantages, but there was many things about it. I don't know.